This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he will double planned tariffs on Canadian aluminum and steel, sticking with the trade war despite big market drops, the Dow plunging more than 400 points on the news. Job openings in the U.S. rising at the start of the year, another sign the job market was solid when the president returned to office. There were 7.5 million vacancies in January, 7.5 million the month before. House members meeting right now on a partial budget that would fund the government through the end of September.
With House Democrats vowing to withhold their support, Republicans can only afford a single defection. Vice President Vance heads to Capitol Hill today to rally Republicans. Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie, who's a frequent no vote on continuing resolutions, says he'll vote against this one, too. Overnight, President Trump called Massie a grandstander who should be primaried. If the spending bill does pass the House, it'll be up to Doge-wary Democrats in the Senate to decide whether to block it with a filibuster.
From Washington, ABC National Correspondent Stephen Portnoy. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. Two-time congressional candidate Rebecca Cook is running again for Wisconsin's 3rd District. Cook, a Democrat, lost to Republican Derek Van Orden last fall by nearly 3 percentage points, but outperformed Democrats Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin on the ballot. She previously ran for the seat in 2022, losing in the primary to Brad Paff. Cook is the first person to announce their candidacy to challenge Van Orden. Eau Claire City Council President Emily Berg is also considering a run for Congress. Gas prices across the state rose this past week, although they're still lower than what they were a year ago. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices rose 9.5 cents in the last week for an average of $2.90 today. This is 1 cent lower than a month ago and 31.8 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say that caution is playing a role in keeping prices lower. Concerns about the direction of the economy could have a major influence on fuel prices, especially with the high level of uncertainty surrounding tariffs. Our typical spring increase in prices may not happen or could be smaller than expected.
La Crosse gas prices have been 10 to 15 cents higher per gallon than the statewide average this past week, topping out at about $3.06. Currently, prices are at about $3 per gallon on average. The ongoing dispute between the City of La Crosse and the La Crosse Brewery took another turn Monday after the Board of Public Works changed its mind about ending lease agreements for parking space near the brewery. The decision comes after city officials had previously criticized the brewery over foul smells coming from its water treatment plant. The brewery's manager said that they are waiting for parts to fix machinery that would help reduce the odor emissions. Last week, the board recommended ending the leases. After a record-setting day for high temperatures yesterday in La Crosse, today will be mild by comparison. Highs will top out around 50 degrees. We'll gradually warm up through the rest of the week, getting back to the 70s by Friday. Then our next weather maker arrives Friday night into Saturday with showers and possibly thunderstorms this weekend. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers beat the Seattle Mariners 7-5 in Cactus League action. Christian Yelich, coming off back surgery, delivered a home run.
Each year you feel different, or your swing's a little bit different, and you just have to prepare yourself with what you got that year and make it the best version of, you know, yourself and go compete and see what happens.
Up next, the Brewers face the Cubs. NFL free agency. Packers signing two players. 49ers offensive guard Aaron Banks, 6'5", 325 pounds. It's a four-year deal worth $77 million. He'll play left guard. Elton Jenkins will move to center. Josh Myers is a free agent. On defense, the Packers adding defensive back Nate Hobbs from the Raiders. A four-year contract worth $48 million, $16 million guaranteed. The Packers losing T.J. Slayton to the Bengals. The defensive lineman getting a two-year deal worth just over $15 million. Bucks on the road tonight in Indy against the Pacers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today, and it is definitely going to be colder than yesterday. We'll get to around 48 this afternoon. Not windy, though. Wind will be north at only 5 to 10. Tonight, 29. Tomorrow, sunshine. We bounce right back to 58 by Thursday. Partly cloudy, 63. Low 70s. By Friday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up Wednesday morning, a preview of our live Supreme Court event, the stakes of the election in terms of education, reproductive rights, and the economy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Nat and Air on Air. Jane Nat and Air, Greg Buck, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Tuesday, March 11th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same since Friday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24. That is also the same since Friday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Yep, you know it's coming down. Just as we were coming on the air, the stock market dropped another 400 points.
Gurf!
After President Trump announced this morning, again, just before we were coming on the air, that he is going to raise Canadian steel and aluminum tariffs to 50% in retaliation for Ontario imposing energy duties.
Do you know what word I've been hearing kicked around?
What's that?
Recession.
No, that's not going to happen. Donald Trump said Tuesday's ordered his administration to raise tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum imports by an additional 25%. That brings the total to 50%. He's also repeating calls for Canada to be absorbed into the U.S. as the 51st state. I don't know a lot of Canadians.
I do.
But I've seen Canadians on various social media sites.
Yeah.
I don't sense a lot of excitement about from Canada about becoming the 51st state.
Let me speak in terms that Americans will understand, I believe. They have a very from my cold, dead hand attitude towards this whole 51st state. Also, would it be the 51st state just Canada, or we break the provinces up to states as well? That's one huge state, and I'd be afraid of Canada invoking civil war, the new North versus the South.
Ooh.
What would happen?
Ooh, yeah. See, you're looking ahead.
I am.
You're looking ahead. This seems less than ideal.
Yep.
Especially when there's an article in Reuters, the byline from Timothy Apple, Trump's tariffs create the Wild West on Wisconsin's factory floors. Again, we've talked about this many, many times. Businesses hate uncertainty.
Yes, exactly.
And that's why we're seeing what's happening with the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, what's he going to do tomorrow? What's he going to do? Again, this came out of nowhere this morning.
And that's sort of where I'm at right now. And maybe we can get an economist to explain to me, because I can't keep up with all the tariffs now. Because just from Friday to Sunday, tariffs imposed, tariff pause, 50% tariffs, 25% tariffs. I don't, like, it just seems to be anytime he gets cornered, he either says Canada is the 51st state or tariffs. He has no other mode. And honestly, you say the businesses don't like uncertainty, but there's a certainty right now, which is that Dow Jones has been crashing every day for weeks. It is below 42,000. It is almost below 41,000. If it hits 40,000, I'm not an economist, but I know that's bad.
Well, and I saw some comments this morning. Also, if you are in the stock market, if you have a 401k, you're in the stock market. Not everyone is, obviously, but a fair amount of people are. If you are watching the stock market and these fluctuations and these recent drops, if they privatize Social Security, this is where Social Security will be.
Yes. Or crypto.
Which is a whole nother discussion. Yep. And we are, Jamie Martinson, who is one of our colleagues here at Civic Media, has been looking for a crypto person that we can speak to who's, sorry to be less than complimentary, not living in their basement.
Not going to sell us.
And I think she found one.
Yeah.
So that will hopefully be coming in the next couple of weeks. But this, I thought the tariffs were all about stopping fentanyl from coming into the country.
Jane, I have no
idea.
Wasn't
that the original? They're stupid. The Canada and Mexico aren't doing enough about people crossing over into America and bringing fentanyl. And that's why we're going to institute these tariffs until they crack down on all those people bringing fentanyl in. And now that doesn't seem, I never hear that mentioned anymore at all.
Well, I mean, this, I mean, I love to have a pithy, very hilarious response, as I always do, because I'm hilarious. But I'm really at this point just left in the dust because it's about fentanyl. It's about illegal immigration. It's about keeping manufacturing in America. It's about America. It's about and now it's just, like I said, it's just, am I in a corner? What's the Dow Jones at? Tariffs. Like, tariffs is just the quote unquote. And they all think that there's some magical potion inside the word tariffs. Like, you split the word tariffs open, there's a magical elixir that will fix everything.
Fix everything.
And it's not doing anything because if you're going to put tariffs in, fine, do it. Don't say you're going to do it and then the last hour be like, well, except for the big three car companies, except for certain parts of Canada, except for these companies. That's
well, there's carve outs.
Yeah.
There's carve outs if you're one of the favored companies.
Exactly.
Which doesn't seem entirely democratic.
No.
Wisconsin, going back to this Reuters article about tariffs in Wisconsin, Wisconsin is one place where a full-on trade war could be particularly painful, given its economy's close ties with Canada and the fact that it's a key political prize that has been determinative of who gets the White House. Again, Wisconsin, a very, very important swing state. Industrial America now calculating on whether or not, on how to go forward, and the numbers are not looking good. Many manufacturers, including automakers in Detroit, have rushed to Washington to ask for delays or exemptions. So doesn't that undercut the oomph of the tariff then, if you're going to give all these special carve-outs for certain industries?
Well, if I'm say, Toyota making cars in America, employing U.S. citizens to make, this is a U.S.-made car with either a European or a Japanese name on it. If I'm from Toyota and I'm seeing that Ford and the other two are getting their carve-outs, I'm not going to be happy. And what if you're a smaller car company like Rivian, who is the direct competition to Elon Musk? This doesn't seem like, they said the 2 years of pain, we're not all going to suffer together then.
Oh, no.
So
No, we were the suffering was never going to be equal across the board. Yeah. No, never.
Yeah.
And speaking of Elon Musk and Tesla, apparently, according to President Trump, boycotting Tesla is illegal. I didn't know that.
I didn't realize
that. Well, I'm not a very stable genius, so that's obviously why I did not know that.
Well, he's been boycotting taxes for decades, so that seems illegal. I don't know. I said as a very, very, very tongue-in-cheek is I give it, by summertime, he's going to call Tesla the official car of America.
And we're going to be required to buy one.
I'll buy one with a subsidy, America. Thank you.
Wisconsin is a front line in this trade war, especially as it relates to Canada. Last year, Wisconsin reported $7.9 billion worth of goods exports to Canada. Everything from farm machines to car parts, more than shipments by Wisconsin manufacturers to Mexico, China, Germany, and Australia. So Wisconsin does a lot of business with Canada. Wisconsin also exposed at the gas pump. Trump's Canadian tariffs include 10% on energy. Wisconsin gets much of its oil and gas from Alberta, Canada, funneled into Wisconsin's sole refinery in Superior, underlining Wisconsin's northern exposure because that refinery is owned by Canadian oil and gas producer Cenovus Energy.
And if you really want to get your mind around the oil and gas problems with regard to America and Canada and just worldwide, we would suggest going to Mr. Global's YouTube page. He will be on the show at the end of the month. But yes, he is posting like crazy right now on all of the different questions that are coming up, on all the concerns, and the fact that everything coming out of the White House is bloviating and chest thumping. It's not a solution. It will not make the gas prices go down. You can't make a country that produces natural resources say, make it cheaper. They're gonna be like, no, we'll do what we want. So go to Mr. Global's YouTube page and watch his videos. He'll explain it so well.
And if you're unfamiliar with Mr. Global, his name is Matt Randolph. Mm-hmm. He does own his own small oil and gas company based in Oklahoma. Yeah. He's been in the industry for more than 30 years. You actually have to do things and be named as an expert in the oil and gas industry, yeah, which he has been.
Yeah.
It's not just like, because you're the son of someone's, yeah, who owns an oil company that you get that title. No, this is an earned title. Mm-hmm. So like Greg said, Matt has his own YouTube channel. Just search for Mr. Global on YouTube. I've learned so much from him.
Yes.
And he doesn't take sides.
No.
Politically.
It may seem like it because he's not a fan of what's happening now, and people will be like, oh, he's just part of the left. And
He's not.
He is not. He is a guy who is just a businessman. And he has the knowledge to tell you how this business, oil and gas, needs to be run to succeed. And I don't think part of that success is imposing tariffs on the energy production from other countries. It's not going to help us at the pump.
No, it certainly isn't.
No.
Mr. Global, by the way, Matt Randolph joining us on March 31st, mm-hmm, in a couple of weeks. So he will be here. But again, check him out on YouTube. And as I like to say when I have him on the show, he has the facts and the experience to annoy everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He annoys people on all sides,
yeah,
which I think is an undervalued trait. It's an undervalued trait. Well, anyway, yes, stock market is not looking good right now. I also saw someone claim on social media that Fox has taken off its stock market tracker because things are going so poorly. So let's just take it off and we'll pretend it's not happening.
Just babies.
That's one way to do it. Another way to do it when you're afraid of your constituents is to take calls. I don't actually want to see you face to face, but I'll take your calls.
What do they want to ask me? Oh, no, I don't want to answer that.
No. We will talk about two Wisconsin politicians who deigned to take calls from their lowly constituents. That's coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 months after peaceful voting rights marchers were viciously attacked in Selma, Alabama, the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was signed by President Lyndon Johnson. Anti-voter legislatures are now challenging the VRA's protections, even though that discrimination continues. The VRA was intended to give teeth to the 15th Amendment, prohibiting discrimination based on race, color, or previous enslavement. The VRA Section 5 requires states with a track record of discrimination to pre-clear their election law with the U.S. Justice Department. The U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority in Shelby County versus Holder in 2013 began an erosion of those protections by prohibiting the DOJ from enforcing those preclearance requirements. In the ensuing 12 years, power-hungry state legislatures unleashed a torrent of anti-voter bills designed to suppress specific groups, including Black, Hispanic, and Native American voters. A 2021 decision, Brnovich versus DNC, made it harder to argue those bills discriminated by race. In 2024, the conservative majority made it more difficult to prove racial gerrymandering under the VRA Section 2 in Alexander versus South Carolina NAACP. The latest attack, a 2025 Supreme Court case from Louisiana, argues the VRA's provision for majority-minority voting districts is itself discriminatory. More on that tomorrow. I'm Brian Beal.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hey, if you're looking for a job.
I am.
You can't. I'm sorry, but you're trapped here with me.
No.
If you are looking for a job, you know someone who is looking for a job, Civic Media is expanding. And we would love for you to join our team.
Yes.
We got a whole bunch of openings here at Civic Media. We're looking for a news director. We're looking for a digital content producer, radio news reporter. If you've been on the beach, maybe you worked for a television station who's been making cuts, please consider checking out Civic Media. We're looking for a community manager. All kinds of things going on. Producers.
Do you want to be best friends with Calvin Butenhoff?
Here's your chance.
Here's your chance.
Be a technical producer.
There you go.
For example. If you would like to check this out, just go to civicmedia.us. At the very top, click on About and then Careers.
Okay.
And that will take you to our career page. Civic Media continues growing. We would love to have you grow with us. Check it out at civicmedia.com. Again, click on About and then go down to Careers. And take a look. We'd love to have you join us. Right before we went to the break, we were talking about run away, run away, run away. We don't want to actually face our constituents anymore because they scare us. U.S. Congressman Tony Weed. This is from Lisa Hale from Civic Media. U.S. Congressman Tony Weed answers questions at a tele-town hall. Because, again, we don't want to actually see you face-to-face because you might, you know, have questions I don't want to answer. So it's nice when people can just call in and then they can pick and choose which questions they want to respond to, right?
Yeah.
It's a little safer that way.
Yeah, you know,
a little safer that way.
You don't have to deal with tough questions and people being all mad at you.
Tom Tiffany also at this tele-town hall event.
Tom Tiffany tele-town hall event?
Oh, lots of tease there.
Yeah.
We have a clip from Tom Tiffany. Calvin, if you want to play that clip, please, from last night.
Medicaid was put in place to protect, you know, people with disabilities, pregnant women, children from poor families. That's who that was meant for. And now we've seen a lot of people get on it that are able-bodied adults, that they can work. Do we want them getting their health care from the federal government, from you, the taxpayer? Wouldn't it be better if they had a job and they probably got their health care via their employer, rather than getting it from the taxpayer?
If there are able-bodied people who are receiving these benefits, then yes, they should be looking for work. But it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, there are already pretty stringent requirements in order to get Medicaid, especially financial requirements.
If you're an able-bodied person, which I mean, Tom Tiffany just throws that around. Like, I don't know what that means, honestly. Like, you're just perfect shape. But an able-bodied person, if you're on Medicaid, it means you are making far less than which is able to live on. So Medicaid's available to you to buy to have a package for health insurance. This notion is like, is for pregnant women and disabled people and children. Like, no, it's for people who are not making enough money, who can't work enough to get good health insurance or full-time jobs. That's what I was always told. Because I tried to get Badger a long time ago. And I'm not kidding you. I made $9 over the limit. And they just flat out refused me.
Couldn't get it.
Yeah.
Who are these people then?
Yeah.
We hear this so much now from Republicans. Now we've seen a lot of people get on it that are able-bodied adults. What are their names?
Yeah.
What disabilities are they claiming?
Mm-hmm.
Who are these people? Let's get some specifics instead of just we know intuitively that people are gaming the system.
Well, I think one of the problems is that people automatically equate Medicaid with unemployed. That's not true. If you're making minimum wage in this country, if you're making $7.25 an hour, there's a chance you can qualify for your state's Medicaid program, whether it's Badger Care or whatever. So you can be an able-bodied person with a job, but your job doesn't pay you enough to or it doesn't have good quality health care. You look at Walmart. Walmart used to have a history of telling their employees to go on their state medical insurance plans because they didn't want to pay them more and they didn't want to put them on their health insurance.
Well, the Waltons are struggling, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
The family that owns Walmart, they are struggling.
They're like one of the lower billionaire families?
I think they
don't even have $100 billion, Jane.
How embarrassing.
Losers.
To go along, Greg, with what you just said, Cassandra on the live stream says, all you have to do is go to your local Walmart to find the able-bodied individuals that are on Medicaid. They are working, and they aren't being paid a living wage.
Yeah. I looked up how much Walmart pays their employee. The average on this search said it was $17.50. I don't know if that's true. There's a lot of Walmarts. But Cassandra is right. That is one of the chief examples that was used back in the day about Walmart is that, and it wasn't just even that we're qualifying for Medicaid. It was that they were telling the employees to take it.
To apply for it.
So don't equate Medicaid with jobless loser who's sitting in his mother's basement doing nothing. There are going to be extenuating circumstances. And it's not just like I walk in going, Medicaid, please. You got to go through paperwork and talk to people. It's not just you pull a lever and then your check comes out.
And it never stops.
Yeah.
And it never stops. Yeah, I believe that there are some checks on that. Unless, of course, they keep cutting all the positions for people who check on things like that. But that could be a problem. The other thing, and we're going to talk more about this on another show, but not every person who suffers with a disability has one that is recognizable by sight.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And there's someone on the live stream saying they can learn to code. There's nothing wrong with suggesting new avenues of jobs. And yes, people can get new jobs and people can try new careers, but that doesn't also mean it's going to pay great. I'm sorry to tell you, but there is an influx of coding now. Everyone wants to learn to code, and that doesn't mean you're going to get those $100,000 jobs anymore.
And don't you have to pay to learn how to code?
Yeah, you have to go to school to learn how to do
that. And that costs money.
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you do bootstraps, YouTube University, and then you start your own company.
We have news coming up next. When we return, Todd Alba from The Todd Alba Show will be here. By the way, Andrew from Maine asking, can I get hired as a listener? You got it, Andrew. You are now working for Civic Media as an official listener. There's no salary or anything. It's just, you know, it's an honorarium.
A hearty thanks is your pay.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Jimmy Cuska for 1490 WLCX. Ahead of tomorrow's mayoral debate, lacrosse candidates Shondell Washington Spivey and Chris Kahlo both received endorsements. Washington Spivey was endorsed by former Mayor John Mettinger, while Kahlo was endorsed by two-time candidate Vicky Markison, who narrowly lost to current Mayor Mitch Reynolds 4 years ago and also narrowly missed out on the spring election ballot by coming in third in last month's primary. The debate tomorrow is at UW La Crosse's Cleary Alumni and Friends Center. $6.5 million in federal grants are being restored for Wisconsin dairy businesses. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Dairy Business Initiative Program is a law sponsored by Senator Tammy Baldwin. It allowed dairy farmers to get grants on projects that would modernize their operations and provide more jobs. 88 dairy businesses have been awarded those grants. Many of them started those projects knowing they would later be reimbursed by the federal government. But the Trump administration ordered the USDA not to release the money. Now Baldwin says the USDA secretary has agreed to reverse course, and the dairy businesses across the Badger State will get that money they were counting on. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The decision also affects hundreds of dairy businesses nationwide. Several committees meet ahead of the La Crosse Common Council meeting on Thursday. Today, the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee is considering an ordinance that would require over half of affected property owners to approve any new sidewalk construction that costs over $25,000. The City Council is holding a planning meeting to review the city's property tax base, and the Library Board meets today as well. Tomorrow, the Housing Authority and City Administrator Work Group will meet. The new superintendent for the School District of Onalaska will be Ben Barton. Barton, who is the superintendent of Princeton Public Schools in Minnesota, emerged from a four-candidate field as the pick for Onalaska. Barton was previously an administrator in Caledonia and La Crescent. He'll begin his work July 1st. Onalaska began searching for a new administrator after Todd Antony resigned in November. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I was very excited to see Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17. After big wins on Oscar night 5 years ago, which saw him bring home the Best Director and Best Picture Oscar for Parasite, Joon-ho took a big swing with a big budget on Mickey 17. The film stars Robert Pattinson as Mickey, who is on his 17th life, who tries to figure out if creatures on an ice-covered planet are friends or foes. He uses an annoying voice the entire film, but the film does have a nice message. Ultimately, Mickey 17 was pretty tough to get through. James Bond passed away in 2021 in the film No Time to Die. But did you honestly think that would stop studios from making more Bond movies? Despite speculation that there would be a female Bond, multiple sources report that it is not happening and 007 will stay male and British. The search continues for who will play 007. Personally, I think it might be time for a chubby Bond who has halitosis and can't get girls. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cooler today compared to yesterday, with highs reaching the upper 40s. We've got a north breeze, but we're sitting pretty under plenty of sunshine, and that lasts through the rest of the week. Highs tomorrow climb to the upper 50s and soar to the mid-60s on Thursday. Even warmer for Friday, low 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 39.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already, people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already, farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream where chair dancing can break out at any possible moment. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we are delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the aptly named Todd Alba Show from noon to 2 across the network. And you're going to be part of our special coverage tomorrow night, correct, Todd?
Wait, I am. Let me check out.
I heard your name mentioned. I'm fairly certain.
That's how things work around here. What are you doing the next few hours?
What are you doing tomorrow night?
I am. Yeah.
It's you and Dan. You and Dan Schaefer
and
Pat Kreitlow.
It's a happy threesome on the air tomorrow night from the Overture Center. It'll be fantastic, a political extravaganza not to be missed by anybody. It's being held at the Overture Center in the same theater where they did Shucked, the musical, when it was in town. So I'm not sure if there's any meaning to that, but it should be a lot of fun.
And this is all to lead up to the debate between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel on Wednesday night, correct?
Yes, our friends at Up North News Radio, of course, hosted by our very own Pat Kreitlow, in conjunction with Courier News Service, are putting together this forum to talk about democracy and the Supreme Court race, and focus a little bit on education with the DPI race coming up on the 1st of April as well. And it was already fantastic, and then they said it's too fantastic. Let's bring it down a notch, so let's ask Todd to be involved. And so I said, sure, I'll come on over and be a part of that. But it should be great because Civic Media has agreed to air it in its entirety, and so we'll air it here on the broadcast network. And Dan Schaefer, as always, he's fantastic. Of course, our political editor and co-founder of the founder of the Recombobulation Area. So it'll be great. I think it'll be informative, and I hope it's just kind of a conversational panel discussion where we bring people to Wisconsin some real views and maybe even a couple of solutions to work on.
Wonderful. Check it out tomorrow night. That is from 7 to 8 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. A couple of things, Todd, we wanted to kick around with you, including the fact that Rebecca Cook announced this morning that she will be running once again against Derek Van Bully in Wisconsin's western side. She's got a good chance, I think. I would like to think, anyway.
You'd like to think. As soon as you... In fact, here's what's going on. I had a couple of things to do. I had my phone turned down. I missed Jane's first message, and she said we were going to talk about something else. And then she said, actually, I think we're going to talk about Rebecca Cook. And my first reaction was, why? And I thought, so that, then I Googled it, and I'm like, oh, I guess she's running. I had no idea until Jane told me this morning.
See what you learned. Todd, huh?
Breaking news on Civic Media and Todd's phone.
Democrat Rebecca Cook launches bid to unseat Derek Van Orden in Wisconsin's battleground seat. Now, you did a lot of traveling. You live in, or you're from Richland Center, and I know you go home quite a bit. And the last time around when Rebecca was running against, it was Katrina Shankland and Rebecca Cook and Derek Van Orden. And you saw a lot of support for Rebecca Cook, you said, in parts of western Wisconsin.
Yeah, and let me, right up front, let me make clear. Derek Van Orden, in my opinion, has no business, or if they say back at Richland Center, no business, being a United States congressman. Remember, this is the guy who was detained by TSA for trying to get a gun on a plane in Iowa.
Loaded gun.
He verbally abused a teenager in his adopted hometown of Prairie du Chien at a library because he was ticked off because there were LGBTQ books on display. He verbally abused and assaulted teenage pages in the U.S. Capitol while he was inebriated. And it's important to remember he doesn't deny any of the things I just said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's in addition to, in my opinion, abdicating his elected responsibility and running off to Israel to play soldier over there.
That's right.
Look, I mean, I know the guy is, a former Navy SEAL, or at least that's what he claims. And if he really did that, then hats off to him. But I don't think just because you did one good thing in your life that washes away all the current things or more recent things that you've done. So, I mean, that's number one. Number two, to your point, Jane, There was a very divisive Democratic primary last time around between Katrina Shanklin, which was the darling of the Madison Capitol mainstream Democratic Party, Mark Pocan, who I think a lot of, a congressman from down here, he is friends with Shanklin, and they thought they had it in the bag. Meanwhile, Cook ran a very grassroots campaign. She had run the time before, came in second to Brad Paff, the state senator from La Crosse. And she ran a great primary campaign, quite frankly, a better one than Shanklin. I like both of them. I think they both would have been great candidates, but Cook ran the better primary. The Democratic Party, in my opinion, never coalesced around Cook after that because there were a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of hard feelings there. And give Cook credit, in the story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which I looked up after Jane told me this morning, it was Cook doing better in Western Wisconsin than either Harris or Baldwin, by the way.
Interesting.
And so as Cook only lost by 2.7% or whatever. So give her a lot of credit for that. What I hear from, and look, I left the Republican Party in 2011. I'm not a Democrat, but I keep in touch with people there, spend time there. What I hear from local Democratic parties, Richland County, other places, is that the Cook campaign, and we saw this last time around, they're very insular. She brought a big name guy in from Texas to run her campaign last time and did really great, but they tend not to reach out and work with local county Democratic parties. Mm-hmm. And that creates hard feelings. I know that we tried to get Cook on civic media and they just said, hands off. We're not going there because they didn't want to be viewed as quote unquote too liberal. She runs this very, hey, I'm for everybody mainstream campaign. I put on flannel and I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this or not. She's just a waitress. And she likes to look, I lost twice for state assembly in Western and Southwest Wisconsin. I've run state Senate campaigns and won state assembly campaigns and won, and I've run losing congressional campaigns in the third district. I know what it takes to run a congressional campaign in the third district. You ain't going to do that by being a waitress. So either she has family money and that's great if she does, but just say that. Or she relies on these big donors from other places, the Blue Dog Democrats and other places, to do the campaign. Again, that's fine. Just be yourself. Mm-hmm. And we saw Bernie Sanders come in. I know you guys covered it yesterday. Yep. I played some of the cuts from Altoona. Here, I mean, just a couple of things. You guys know this. What people told Bernie Sanders in Western Wisconsin mattered to them. Heat, meals, paying bills. Do I get shoes for my kids or boots for myself? Eyeglasses for my kids or eyeglasses for myself. Those are the things that people in Western Wisconsin are talking about. So I know you didn't ask me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Here are a couple of things that I would do if I was advising Rebecca Cook, and I'm not. Number one, hire a PI to find out Derek Van Orten's actual military record. Why is it that nobody that he ever served with stands behind him and endorses him? Did he really get an honorable discharge? While you're doing that, make a group of veterans, everything from the Korean War to the Afghanistan War, that call Derek Van Orten out on his military record as an abomination. Two, talk to Dairyland Power, the largest power supplier in Western Wisconsin, along with rural electric cooperatives, and have them talk about what these tariffs in Canada are going to do to local energy costs in Western Wisconsin. And finally, find a local action or local law enforcement retired or current, at least a couple that call him out on this January 6th stuff.
Yep.
Those are the things where you could had dividing factors in Western Wisconsin. Big ag going after quote unquote big ag and abortion rights. That ain't going to cut it, in my opinion.
It's almost too amorphous. It's not immediate enough. As you said, people are talking about much more immediate concerns and immediate needs. And I also wonder too, Todd, the danger of trying to be this moderate where I can get along with everybody. Well, can you? And going back to the whole money thing, I wish they would all, every single politician on both sides, just admit, yes, we take a whole bunch of money from people who don't live here.
Right.
Can we all just admit that and get it out there? We all know that anyway.
In a perfect world, it'd be great if we had campaign funding limits on public money. We don't. That's not going to change in the next 2 or 3 years. So your point is exactly right, Jane, in my opinion.
Todd, you brought up the January 6th thing, which a lot of times we throw it around as like, and it was also January 6th. But I think when you look at the number of people in this country who are unhappy that the current president just blanket pardoned all of these people out of prison, the fact that we didn't like that. And the fact that Derek Van Orn was at that event, at that insurrection event, it needs to be talked about more. It gets swept under the carpet so much. And for a guy who claims to be a proud vet, the fact that he went to the Capitol to try to upend our constitutional process and our voting, that is also something I feel like Rebecca Cook should be talking about regularly. And I was going to say, I said to Jane, I have some thoughts on what Rebecca should do, because I've also run campaigns as well. But you said them all. And it's also about, I think that she can be not moderate, but she can speak to the voice of all Wisconsinites. Because what we heard from the Marquette University poll last week is that a majority of Wisconsinites are on the same page when it comes to things like gun safety laws, comes to abortion, comes to marijuana legalization, comes to affordability for childcare and things of that. We all come together in that. I think that Rebecca Cook can represent that will of Wisconsin and take it in a race against Derek Van Orn.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's weird to use Tim Walz's word that Derek Van Orn was at January 6th. I think that's less of an election issue than the fact that he supports Donald Trump pardoning all the people of January 6th who attacked law enforcement. That's the 77%er that people in America disagree with. So run on that. Forget about his personal, whether he was there or not. And look, I'm fine with legalization of marijuana. That ain't an issue. It's in my opinion.
It doesn't resonate.
Well, one of the things that people in Western Wisconsin that told Bernie, those household issues, the fact that we are in people in Western Wisconsin, Jane, you and I saw this on Flag Day in Amory. They are patriotic. They love our country. Doesn't matter who you voted for at the top of the ticket. I bet you most of those people in Amory at Flag Day are not going to support Donald Trump and Derek Van Orn pardoning January 6th insurrectionists who attacked law enforcement.
But I think there is a certain segment who have and don't find that problematic.
Correct. Absolutely. There's 33% who exactly what you just said. They don't care. But there is another middle part there that in those Evers Johnson voters, those Trump Baldwin voters, those folks do care about those things, in my opinion.
And I also wish that character still mattered. Because, again, when we look some
wouldn't
of
that be nice?
When we look at some of the past behavior of Derek Van Orn, he loves picking on people who are younger and weaker and smaller than he is. He really does. He's great and a big man when it comes to picking on a teenage librarian. He's all tough guy then. But when it comes to, I don't know, actually facing his constituents and answering questions, whoosh, where is he? He's the invisible man. Yeah. Unless you have $40 you want to shell out for this Saturday.
In Richland Center.
In Richland Center, he's going to be there.
I ran several Richland County Lincoln Day dinners, and the big debate when I was doing it is, should the tickets go above $19.99 in cost? And now they're $40 a piece. I don't know too many people in Richland County who are going to pay out $40 a piece. And look, if people want to go and voice their concern in their First Amendment right, that's great. The only thing I ask, stay on the sidewalk.
Don't be obnoxious. Center, yes.
The people that are hosting this at the Phoenix Center, they have hosted the Patriotic Millionaires as well as Republican events. They are not partisan. They do a great business. They have a great staff and great food. This ain't their problem. Mm-hmm. They're opening their facility up to anybody who rents it out. So if you're going to go, stay on the sidewalk. Don't block the driveway. Don't try to get in. Just, you know, be a peaceful demonstrator.
Or buy a ticket and have a nice, I'm sure it's going to be a great dinner for your $40.
I'll guarantee you they are screening people and will probably have law enforcement at the door.
To screen out those undesirables.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
It's going to be a tele-dinner.
At the end of the day, it's not a public event. It's a private event by the Richland County Republicans.
Well, if you are one of his constituents, this is your chance to actually, I don't know, see his face in person.
To see him.
It's like Sasquatch. Yes, it's like Sasquatch. We know he exists. We're going to continue our conversation with Todd Alba. From the Todd Alba Show, stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Alba, and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour after the 11 o'clock news, empathy is bad. Co-president Elon Musk announced that that's one of the big flaws in Western civilization is being empathetic. So we're going to talk about why empathy is bad.
Missed it by that much.
Yes, so close. Next hour. And then after 11:30, when we like to try and lighten things up a little bit, we call 11:30 to 12 our audio sorbet segment. It's kind of an audio cleansing breath, as it were. Concerts. What is the most you have ever paid for a concert ticket? I'm really curious. Yep.
Yeah.
So we're going to kick that around after 11:30, and then we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Wild and Woolly edition. Stay tuned for that. Right now we're joined by our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the aptly named Todd Alba program from noon to two here across the network. In the remaining time that we have, Todd, I want to talk a little bit about Governor Evers has come out with some of his budget proposals. His capital budget calls for $4.1 billion in building projects. And again, it always seems to me like Tony Evers overreaches by 500 miles.
500 miles.
I mean, and Greg has pointed, has said before that, you know, it's like when you're in a negotiation.
It's a Peter Paul and Mary song, but go ahead.
When you're in a negotiation, you start way high and then you expect to, you know, do some dealing right, and then come back to a more reasonable level. But $4.1 billion sounds like an awful lot of money.
I haven't gone through every detail of it. Yes, I think to your point, Jane, to the average Wisconsinite, they're going, what? Again, Kreitlow picks on me for this. Really, I'm not trying to be a jerk to Tony Evers. I think he's the last line of defense. He's the only thing preventing Wisconsin from being a Texas or Florida version of insanity.
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
So I'm very thankful for Tony Evers in many ways. I just think he has a very poor communication program or department around him, and the people around him are poor communicators. And I think it would have been much better whether it was Jim Doyle or Tommy Thompson, you know what you do? You get the old GMC state automobile with a state trooper out in front of you so you don't have to follow the speed limit. And you go around Wisconsin and you go to Amory and you talk about why we need to improve the facilities at UW-Barron in Rice Lake. And then you go to Milwaukee and you say, here's why we need to add a new facility for healthcare at UW-Milwaukee because they're turning out all kinds of nurses and health professionals. And you build a narrative, as my friend Trigvi Olson likes to say.
Right.
And you build a case. And then you say, and now here's how much it's going to cost, and here's the plan, and here's why I'm asking this, after you've built up support in all these communities around Wisconsin, rather than just saying, well, I need this.
Well, and
it's poor communication.
I don't disagree with you, and I don't think anyone is disputing that a lot of this stuff has been kicked, the can has been kicked down the road for years, decades and decades and decades, and both sides have done it, especially when we're talking about deferred maintenance costs for a lot of public buildings. Both sides are responsible for this mess that we're in when now we have this building needs $1 billion worth of repairs and we're going to have to tear it down. But I think you make a really good point, Todd, in going to the places, looking at the issue right there and then saying, and now here is the fix for this. Mm-hmm.
Right. Again, it's about building a narrative and building support. And that, to me, is one of the best ways to cut through partisan politics and roadblocks. Because, I mean, you've seen it, Jane. You've been to Richland Center with me where they closed down our two-year campus there. And when they were trying to save it, they had signs that said, save our campus in blue and white, the college colors. And they were in the yards of people who normally had Trump yard signs. And the people who had Obama and Harris signs, it cut through. It didn't matter. So that's why I say you go and build a narrative. And, you know, if it's in Southwest Wisconsin, then those folks who vote and give money to Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, and Tony Kurtz, who sits in the Joint Finance Committee, both Republicans. And they say, look, boys, we need this. You need to get behind Evers and get this done. That's how you build coalitions. You shouldn't allow, it's not productive to say, well, we're only going to deal with people who voted for us.
Yeah.
That's just not how it's done.
No.
And there are too many people around Governor Evers who have a hair up their rear end that if you ever supported a Republican or you're a Republican, they don't want to do business with you. You're never going to get your stuff done that way.
And purity tests are a great way to fail.
Yes. And we see that, of course, on the Republican side all the time.
Yes.
So, I mean, two rights don't make a wrong. You have to be the better person. You have to be the leader of Wisconsin and say, this is how we're going to do it.
I just think it comes down to the only – I don't mean to be the fly in the ointment – is just that we see lawmakers in Madison coming together and agreeing on things, agreeing on, you know, monies for programs and – then being stopped in Joint Finance or being stopped by Robin Voss. I think it also comes down to whether it's Republicans or Democrats and Republicans together have to stand up and say, we need better leadership at the top so we can get these things done to get the money to the people who need it the most and save these programs around the state.
Join Todd Alva from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network and check him out along with Dan Schaefer and Pat Kreitlow tomorrow night from 7 to 8 p.m. Thank you so much, my friend. Really appreciate it. We need another road trip. We're going to have to talk about
that. You're great, Todd.
Let's do it.
Stay tuned.
To the casino.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, if the federal government can disappear a legal U.S. permanent resident without reason or warrant, can they then disappear U.S. citizens too? Plus, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he will double planned tariffs on Canadian aluminum and steel, sticking with the trade war despite big market drops, the Dow plunging more than 400 points on the news. Job openings in the U.S. rising at the start of the year, another sign the job market was solid when the president returned to office. There were 7.5 million vacancies in January, 7.5 million the month before. House members meeting right now on a partial budget that would fund the government through the end of September.
With House Democrats vowing to withhold their support, Republicans can only afford a single defection, and Vice President Vance heads to Capitol Hill today to rally Republicans. Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie, who's a frequent no vote on continuing resolutions, says he'll vote against this one, too. Overnight, President Trump called Massie a grandstander who should be